Luke, thanks a lot. I love worshiping with you, and your voice is okay. He's a freak. LifeBridge family, so good to be back. That surprised me. Well, glad I'm here. hi guys. Oh wow. So good to be here. You know, it's been almost 3 years since you guys sent Julie and I out to essentially be missionaries to America, speaking with governors, church leaders, creatives, celebrities, business people about God's heart for kids in hard places, kids in foster care, kids who need to be reconciled to their families, kids who need to be adopted. And it has been better than we could ever imagine and harder than we could have ever imagined. And but God has been amazing in it. I want you guys to be aware, especially the men. This is what I'm imagining. You came here this morning, and then you find out that I'm speaking about this issue, and you're thinking, I'd rather hear a sermon on tithing. And so I want you to know I get it. Not everybody needs to be a foster parent or an adoptive parent. And in fact, you know, it's not even possible because thankfully there aren't that many kids that need families in that way. But you are created to care. Everybody here has something to do. And I also want to share with you that when I speak, I typically try to hit three parts of you. I try to hit your head, your heart, and your hands. You know, I want God to as I focus on your head, that you to be thinking about something maybe that you haven't thought before or thought from God's point of view. And then when I hit your heart, that God is using something to get you to feel and care about an issue or something that you haven't felt in a way before. And then with your hands, that's something practical for you to do. And what I almost always do is I start with the heart because I want you to care before we kind of get in to the meat of things. I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to start with your head. I want you to think with me. Now, this crowd, you look pretty good. I'll be honest, I'm worried about the next service. So, no. I want you guys, you know, I'm not going to start off with a story that's going to get you engaged. I'm going to start you off thinking. So, can you guys hang with me? Whereas I start with your head, and then we move to your heart and hands. So, the first lesson is going to be a theology lesson. And it is this lesson, that the church is not an event to attend or a club to join, but it's a family to belong to. And this lesson is that with God's family, us being part of God's family, God's children, that God has a set of family values and kind of a priority list of how he wants us to take care of each other. In fact, he's set up in a way that we do care for each other. And one of the best ways to explain it is to contrast it with how the world works. And just with this visual illustration that since antiquity, if you were to take the world and divide up people you would rings in a target, since antiquity, people in the center, the most important people, are the most powerful people. And it's the rulers, the kings, the pharaohs, the people in charge today. Our politicians, our congresspeople and senators and president, they are the ones with the power. And from the world's perspective, they're the ones that we should focus on. Then the next ring out was free men. And so today, that'd be maybe, you know, business people in our culture, celebrities, sports stars, things like that. Then we have, and since antiquity, the free women. And then children with families, and then the people who were considered the most invaluable were the most vulnerable, the outsider. And the outsider in Scripture is described as people who are orphans or widows, foreigners, slaves, and disabled. Well, what God does is that he flips the order. That's what his kingdom means. That's why Jesus came and said, look, what the world has set in place, is entirely backwards. And he said, and in fact, if it's not a value system based upon power, it's a value system based upon love. And he said, and who goes in the center are the outsiders. The outsiders are now on the inside, and we are to focus on them. We're to focus on the orphan, the widow, the foreigner, the slave, the disabled, and we're to care for them. And then the next ring out are the children, the free women, free men. And then lastly, on the outside are people of power, the rulers. And the idea is that if you're strong, the reason that you are strong is to protect the weak. If you have power, the reason you have power is to influence it for those who don't have power. And so that is how God has set up his family. And sometimes we find ourselves in those different rings because of the fortunes and misfortunes of life. Sometimes you might find that you're in a place of influence and you can look towards the inside and care for those of less influence and less power. And there are times because of things that happen in life, that things that happen to you or things that you decided to do, you find yourself towards the center and you're hurting. And thankfully, if you're in a, this is what's meant to happen, in a church, a family of God, you're being cared for deeply. Herbert Humphrey, our former vice president in the 60s, he summed it up well, this idea of without, he didn't have God's family in mind, but he said it this way, the moral test of government is how it treats those who are on the dawn of life, the children, and those who are in the twilight of life, the aged, and those who are in the shadows of life, the sick, the needy, and the handicapped. That is right. And those, when the government is running that way, it's actually being influenced, unbeknownst to most people, by those values of the Christian faith. Now, again, you might just think it ought to be this way, and it's always been that way, but it hasn't. There's a famous quote by the last emperor of Rome named Julian in the 1360 era. He said it this way. Now, he was an enemy of Christianity, and he referred to Christians and Christianity as atheism because Christians didn't worship Roman gods. He said this, atheism, Christianity, has advanced through the loving service given to strangers and through their care for the dying. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar and that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. He was just saying this is how Christianity grew. It's because they had this backward value system where they cared for those who were hurting. And out of that, Christianity exploded. Okay, so there's your theology lesson. Now we're going to switch. We're still hitting the head thinking here. We're going to go into a Bible lesson, a little teaching of Scripture. We're going to go through quite a bit of Scripture here quickly. And the reason I'm telling you this is because one of the things I have to do is convince, the way we work is we work with people of influence. And we have to convince people of influence that this issue of foster care and adoption is a key to God's heart. I'll be honest, at times it's easier to convince a governor than it is a senior pastor. And so, fortunately, a lot of these guys are good guys. They just, you know, you just have to point out some things in Scripture. So this is what I'm going to do for you. So, what did Jesus say was the most important thing in Scripture? When he was asked, what's the most important command? He said, actually, there's two, right? To love God and to love a neighbor. He said it this way in the book of Matthew. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, everything, the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets, everything in Scripture hangs on these two commandments. All the commands are meant to either help you love God better or love your neighbor and love people better. Now, you can find that in just a few places in Scripture. And so you think, well, you just got to find this needle in the haystack to find the most important thing. When it's stated that way, yes, but Scripture, I can give you a little interpretation trick. Scripture talks about loving God and loving your neighbor, and it uses a shorthand to do it. It doesn't say the word love God, doesn't say the words love neighbor. It uses different words. And so example, like we do shorthand for stuff. So if you're taking notes and someone used the phrase business to business, how would you shorthand that? You do B, the number two in B, B to B. If someone said bed and breakfast, though, you would do B and B. If hugs and kisses, XOXO. So that's shorthand. Scripture uses shorthand for love God and love your neighbor. It does it this way. So look at that passage again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The Bible uses that in one word, righteousness. Righteousness means to love God. It's vertical love. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible uses the word justice. Whenever the Bible says the word justice, it means to love your neighbor. So, for example, we'll just go through some scriptures, though there's hundreds. The Lord, this is in Psalm 33:5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. So it describes righteousness and justice as being love. Love of God, love of people, vertical and horizontal. Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, talking about God. Isaiah 5, but the Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice, and the holy God will be proved holy by his righteous acts. In Amos, there's a passage that is famous, famous Amos. And the reason it was famous was during the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King referred to it a lot. Amos 5:2 says, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. In Proverbs 29, it talks about us needing to do it. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Isaiah 56 says, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed. Now, here's now another trick. Sometimes it doesn't use the word righteousness and justice. It might just describe righteousness and justice. So there's another famous passage in Micah 6:8. It uses one of the words, but not the other word. It describes the other word like this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy. That's the justice part. It doesn't use the word righteousness, but it describes it. And to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God is righteousness. It's to love God. What does the Lord require? That you love people and that you love God. Now, this brings us to this passage about caring for kids who don't have families. There's many passages about that throughout the Bible, but this one is the one that's best known. It's in James 1:27. James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he described it like this. He said, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. What is that? That's justice, loving people. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, righteousness. So this verse, which some people think, oh, that's nice, you got a little verse we'll put here on the side for this little ministry that we're doing. This verse is a description of the two great commands. God is saying, this is it. This is the main thing. That's why he calls it a faultless expression of our faith. When God looks at the church, he says, yeah, I'm glad you're singing. I'm glad you're praying. I'm glad you're reading scripture. He said, I also ought to be seeing this, that you're caring for the vulnerable. He doesn't mean just orphans or just widows. Those are two examples set on the age spectrum. But for everyone who's in a spot, in that core spot of vulnerability that needs help. So the main point is this. The goal at LifeBridge is not to make adoption and foster care ministry special. It's to make it normal. That just, when people think about this church, they ought to just think, oh yeah, they care for kids who need families. I mean, that's just normal for them. So, good job hanging in there with me. So, I even saw some nodding happening. That was great. Okay, we're going to switch to the heart. When it comes to this issue of foster care and adoption, there's essentially three groups of people. And looking around here, I see all three. And the way to think about it again is a set of targets and rings. And then in the bullseye is the first group. And the first group are heroes. Now, some of you are sitting out there thinking about, oh, is it going to talk about me soon? Probably not. There are some heroes in this room. I see some. The heroes are the kids. They're the ones who have started with a loss. And they're, you know, in some of these kids' cases, they're not just trying to thrive, they're trying to survive. And I want to introduce you to some of these heroes. You know, one of the projects, one of the things that we're known for is we video more kids who are essentially legal orphans than any other group in the United States. And so this video is just a few of the kids who need a new forever family.
My name is Gerard, I'm 12.
My name is Javon.
My name is Lily and I'm 15 years old.
My name is Venus and I'm 9 years old.
I am Patrick.
My name is Frank, I'm 15 years old.
I'm gonna go to the Marines. First I gotta go to college so I can be an officer. After that I'm just gonna make money, bank.
I wanna be an exotic vet.
I like to sing, do art, and dance.
When I'm on a horse, I feel like I'm free.
I'm an old soul.
I would like to be a scientist because I would like to reinvent the future. I would like to change the world in a much better and peaceful place.
Family is actually precious. I think about somewhere where I can finally live and, you know, feel safe.
It's like whenever people say the church is not the building, it's the people. It's kind of the same thing. It's not just because it's your blood relative, it's because they love you, they support you, and they're always there for you. That's what family is, to me at least.
Someone that I can actually, you know, say I love you to. That won't be so mean to me all the time. Someone that will actually say, good luck, sport, or something like that.
It's people that I can depend on, that will take care of me and always be there for me, even though I'm not their own.
A family that does fun things and that loves me.
It would be to get adopted.
To get adopted once and for all.
I want a family that'll actually be there for me. I want a chance.
I just hope I can find a family, because I just hope I can find a family.
Someone, please take us in, both of us at the same time, because we need each other.
The only thing I would tell somebody about me, I just want a chance. That's it.
This is my story. Can you please give me a home?
How are your hearts? You can see why they're the heroes. Can you imagine being a kid and having to go through that interview? Being asked, what is your biggest wish? Your answer isn't Disneyland. It's a mom and a dad. So that brings us to the second group of people, the healers. The healers are the people who open their hearts and homes to these kids. In this case with these videos is to be forever their family. There are many other kids. Their goal is reunification with their family. And, you know, that's what the goal of foster care is initially for. And that, again, Adoption is not just a Christian value. Reconciliation, reunification is one too. And it's to care about those parents who were in a place that something so bad happened that their family is separated. A lot of those parents grew up in foster care. And they just grew up enough, not connected to family, had kids, and repeated. And it's a chance to help them find healing as well. It's important that these families see themselves as healers and not as heroes. They don't go in with capes on their back, but crosses. And they provide a place that is where these kids can find healing. Now, it's hard. It's really hard. I mean, I saw this picture from about Tom Hanks illustrating being a foster parent. It looks something like this as far as it goes. Can we get that on the screen? New foster parent feels strong. 2 weeks, a little bit overwhelmed. 6 months, and by a year, they're like, forget it. Do you know that half of foster families, you sign up to be a foster family, half of them quit in a year? It's that tough. And their main thing that they say was, it was lonely. They just felt like, man, nobody else kind of is there for us. And so a couple years ago, not quite two, Memorial Day, I was speaking here about this issue, showed one of these videos. There was a family in this church, the Trim Bass. They saw that video, felt moved, a little bit nervous, but the invitation was to go to an event, a Next Step event, to learn more, like the one that's going to happen at 12:30 today. And Lana went, Mark was at work, learned more about the issues and the needs, and someone had asked the person at child welfare, what are the needs, said, we need families for kids from newborns to teenagers and in between. And she said, in fact, right now we have a family of five kiddos, five little ones who need a new family. They're all separated from each other, these five siblings. And we'd love to find a family that could just keep them together. So meeting ends. Lana goes to leave, and Mark arrives, and they're walking out to the parking lot. Lana mentions these five kiddos. Mark says, let's learn a little bit more. So they go back in, learn a little bit more, and they have enough courage to say yes to the next thing of, like, let's help these kids. So within 6 weeks, they took in the two older girls, and then just a few weeks beyond that, they had all five. And they've had these kids now for not quite 2 years. And I called Lana last week, and I said, Lana, I'm speaking this weekend. Tell me, what would you want to say to the church if you had a chance? Hey, just tell me, and I'll say it for you. So she said this. She said, we weren't prepared for how wounded the kids are. Because of their past, you know, you just can't give them a one-step instruction and expect them to obey it. They have food insecurities and emotional wounds, and it's just so hard. And she continued, she said this, it's a lonely place to be. Use that word, lonely. She said, people ask, how are the kids? And they want to hear, it's great. But every day is hard. She said, as a culture, we don't ask for help to raise our kids, even though we say it takes a village. So that's what they're feeling. And she said, please don't make this about us. She said, there's, you know, many families out here who have fostered and adopted and have gone through. And there's some families also that haven't, that just you're going through some tough stuff with health issues or elderly parents or things like that. The point is that we need to be there for those people who are going through those tough times. So let's switch the hands. That brings us to this third group, the helpers. That could be some of you, a lot of you. Look at this passage out of Galatians 6:2. It's just another example of what we learned earlier. It says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Now remember, Jesus said all the laws. He summed them up in two. So in this case, the law of Christ is the second law. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's justice. And so it says, carry each other's burdens. So that way you fulfill the law of loving one another. Now this word burdens in the Greek is this idea of being overly burdened. You know, we all have burdens in life, and it even says a couple of verses later, carry your own burdens. But this word is like, there's times when you're overly burdened. This example here, this picture of this donkey kind of illustrates what it feels like for some people at times. Have you ever felt like that in life at times? Where you're like, life is too much? And there are times when life feels like that, when either something has happened to you, or you've made a bad choice, or you've made a good sacrificial choice, like helping kids, and life feels like it's too much. That's what this verse is about. It said, help those people who feel like that. So the way you do it is simply, you decide to wrap around. You said, hey, look, you know, I can't foster adopt, but I can kind of adopt a family that's doing this. And so there's different things anybody can do. You can pray for that family. You can do babysitting or get groceries or house cleaning or transportation. You can make a meal for them. If you can't cook, you can buy a meal for them. You do lawn care, car care. There's all sorts of things that can be done. So let me just pause right here. All right, do any of you, are you the kind of person that would help a family that needed help like that? Let me see your hands. Okay, I see a couple hundred. You just committed yourselves. Here's the problem. This is what the problem is. It looks like this. Right now, there's way more kids than there are families and helpers. There's over 400,000 kids in foster care right now. There's about half that many families. And there's hardly any families going around helping those healers. So the solution, of course, is to have it look like there's more than enough healing families, more than enough helping families. So here's what I want to be able to say yes to at this church. Can this church say yes to this statement? At LifeBridge Christian Church, some of us are going to bring children into our homes. The rest of us are going to find ways to support them. Can we say yes to that?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, good. So, what you want to do, those of you who raise your hands, is if you're techie enough, take out your phone. And if you know how to text, initiate a text to a number, I want you to dial 720-552-5456, and you're going to type in their helper. And you're going to send it, and it's going to go to this church, a staff member at this church, and they're going to have, like, okay, this person wants to help. If you don't have your phone, you don't know how to do it, find a card somewhere, write it down, and put it in the lobby. The other thing, there's an opportunity. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but who cares because of the teams that are playing? One that we hate, one shouldn't be there. At 12:30, we're going to have a Next Steps meeting to learn more. No obligations at all. Just attend. Child care is provided. Lunch is provided. And you'll be able to learn more. No obligation. You might go home with five kids, but no obligation. let me end with this story. So last spring, Chris Tomlin invited us to tour with him, and we went to 25 cities, and we spoke before each concert to a group of several dozen influencers in that city about what they could do to help make a difference in where they lived. And in one city in Florida afterwards, this couple came up and they said, can we get some advice from you? And I said, sure. And they said, here's the situation. We've grown up here. We've grown up in our church. We have a church of about 500 people. We have been a foster and now adoptive family for about 10 years. During that 10 years, we've really tried to get other people in the church and the leadership to support us, to wrap around us, and maybe some others that would want to also do what we're doing. But we've never once gotten any, not an announcement in a bulletin, nothing. And they said, here's what they said that really impacted me. They said, our kids, when we go to church, our kids don't feel like they belong. Multi-ethnic and from a hard place. Our kids don't feel like we belong. They belong. And we feel so alone. Then they asked me this. They said, what should we do? And I was surprised, really surprised by what came out of my mouth because I'm Mr. Loyalty. I said, quit rewarding bad behavior and leave your church and find one where your kids feel like they belong and you're not alone. If that family lived in Boulder County instead of Florida, I want to be able to say, and I know where you should go. Go to LifeBridge. Your kids will belong and you won't be alone. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us and that not did you just send your son to be with us, to show us what you're like, to die for us, to rise from the dead, but to forgive us of our sins and then to adopt us, to make us your family, your kids. Guys out there, this is part of my prayer, but I just want to tell you the most important thing you need to know is God loves you. And you may not believe it when I say it one time. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You're his kids. He loves you.